Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medications secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.
You're listening to That Dadgum Project, and I have no idea how you find it. I don't have any idea why you would listen to it, but take care of Joe and Joe. They need to have a job.
Roy Williams was quick with names and good with a whistle. The story of how he made it to the top with two of the Blue Blood programs in college basketball has been told. But not like this, and not with this type of honesty and insight from that dadgum legend himself. Now, the Roy That Dadgum Legend podcast.
All right, we'll wrap this up with some rapid fire questions for you.
Hope I give you a rapid fire good answer.
If we go on some tangents, yeah. It's fine.
Well, let's start with an easy one. Favorite Final Four city?
Used to be San Antonio until 2008. And it's always, I loved New Orleans in 82. But San Antonio, New Orleans, that was my group because you could walk everywhere. Everything was close. So when I was looking at it that way, the question I took, not just as a coach, but as a coach and a fan. Of course, if I'm going to do coach, I'm going to say St. Louis, Detroit, yeah. You know, Phoenix, that kind of thing.
The sticker was San Antonio.
Yes.
Is that why you've soured on San Antonio or the game itself?
The game. God, we stunk. And I walk out on the court from the locker room to the court, and I'm thinking we did everything this week like we did the week before, and we were great in Raleigh. I think it was Raleigh. Yeah. And we were great there, and so we prepared, and they kicked us right in the face. And so that's the reason I said before 08, because we just stunk it up. And yet it helped us win the next year because we get there to the semifinals, and Bobby Frazier walked in the locker room. He said, "You remember what we felt like last year after this game. Let's not have any of that crap tonight." And but it was just the game.
The one Franklin Street establishment you'd like to bring back?
Wow. Krispy Kreme, probably. No, the Zoom or the Rascaller.
Rascaller.
One of those two. But they were both very similar, the Zoom or Rascaller.
Favorite ACC referee?
John Moreau. And John Clockerty would be in there also. But John Moreau, one time, Wanda has a picture at the house. He made or didn't make some call. And I said almost nothing during those games as an assistant, especially early. I didn't say anything. But it was a little bit later, and there was a call that I thought he screwed up. And I jumped up and screamed and went running down the bench. And that was so out of character. And Wanda has a picture of me running down the bench, and some photographer had it. And I remember that I ran in the sky. When I started down there, I said, "Oh, my gosh." And I grabbed a cup of water, acting like I was just going to get a drink. And I sneaked a peek at John Moreau, and he was just staring at me. Because if I had gotten a technical, I would have committed suicide. But John Clockerty was good, and John did the Big Eight when I first got there as well. I'd say probably those two.
Your least favorite ref?
Oh, man. There's one in the ACC right now that was probably the least favorite ref in the ACC for sure. And I had one in the Big 8, Big 12 combination there. I had one there too.
What makes that ref your least favorite ref?
Because I felt like he thought the game was about him. And he's the only ref that called more than one technical. I mean, I forgot it over the years that they ran together, but somewhere around 19 or 20 in 33 years.
More great news for Cary commuters. With the new Go Cary app, you can track your bus live on the interactive map feature. Stay informed with the latest news and service updates right at your fingertips. Save your favorite locations and routes for quick and easy access, making your daily commute a breeze. Plus, with the Go Cary app, you can easily connect to GoCary.org for even more resources and information. Best of all, the Go Cary app is absolutely free to download on the Apple and Google Play stores. Go Cary, where getting there is just a tap away.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jack McCollum wrote the definitive book on the Dream Team, the cast of NBA stars assembled in 1992 to restore order for Team USA in Olympic basketball after they had failed to win gold in 1988. The Dream Team, led by Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Charles Barkley, and Larry Bird, cruised to the gold medal in Barcelona. Their average margin of victory was 44 points. But there was one team that did beat the Dream Team. Or maybe they did. It depends on who you ask. Mike Krzyzewski was one of the assistant coaches for Chuck Daly for the Dream Team. Roy Williams was one of the coaches of the developmental team of college players who scrimmaged against the Dream Team in La Jolla, California, before the Dream Team left for the Olympics. With Bobby Hurley, Alan Houston, and Chris Webber, Williams led a mismatched college squad to a 62-54 win in a 20-minute scrimmage over the Dream Team. That is, unless Daly pulled Jordan from the game on purpose. And that is, unless Daly may or may not have turned off the scoreboard after the 20 minutes to teach the Dream Team a lesson that, in a one-off tournament, anything could happen. Again, it depends on who you ask. McCollum tells the story in the book, and later it was the basis of an HBO special. You'll hear Williams' answer about that scrimmage. Recently, we had the chance to ask Coach K about the same scrimmage. Did Hurley and the college team really beat Jordan in the NBA All-Stars? Krzyzewski's response: do you believe in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus? Of course Chuck let them win.
Did Chuck Daly let your college team beat the Dream Team?
No. And I know that's the story, and that's, he was not bothered by it. But the answer is no. They were shocked, we were shocked, and he was ecstatic. But, I mean, how does a coach let somebody else beat you? Come on. You think Chuck Daly's going to dominate what Michael Jordan's doing on the court? Come on.
Not on your official record, but is that your best win ever?
No. No, it was fun. Boy, I go play golf.
You beat the greatest basketball team of all time, and it's not your best win?
No. Oh, gosh. It was
Roy, who can't coach, Roy, who can only recruit, that's not your best win?
My whole personality, when I first got to Kansas, they said I couldn't recruit, but I could really coach. And then later on, it was, I'm serious. You go back and look. That's what everybody said. This guy can really coach, but he can't recruit a lick. An hour after that scrimmage was over with, I'm in the car, and Charles says, boy, Coach, your boys ran their mouth too much. I said, I understand. I told them, shut up. But he said, we're going to get them tomorrow. I said, I know, but don't worry about it. So we went and played golf. It was a great foursome: me, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, David Robinson, John Stockton. And we had a great time. I didn't think anything about that. I mean, you know, I knew that the next day something different was going to happen. And so Chuck said, he said, we'll do it. He said, same way as yesterday. He said, you'll have about 30 to 40 minutes by yourself, and then we'll bring you guys in the gym. So we had a 20-minute scrimmage, and they beat us 38 in a 20-minute scrimmage, and we scrimmaged 10 more, and they beat us 20 more. So in a 30-minute scrimmage, they beat us 58. And the referee steps in to throw the ball up, and all of a sudden Michael says, wait a minute, coach. He looked over me. I said, what? And he pointed to Allen Houston. He said, he ain't getting 7 threes today. And I don't think Allen had a single three-point basket that day, whereas the day before he had seven in a 20-minute scrimmage.
Was there anybody ever better at calling their shot than Michael?
No. Except maybe Babe Ruth, but I'm not quite that old to see a point to center field. But Muhammad Ali, Michael, Tiger. I mean, those are three guys that I think probably separated themselves.
The one Duke player you would have liked to have coached?
Shane Battier.
Why?
Tried to recruit him really hard, really hard. Had to beg him to let us in the final six, and we got in the final six. And then at the end, he told me it came down to Kansas and Duke. But we couldn't overcome that image. Similar to Christian Laettner, the image of the Duke players walking in the press conference, all in coat and ties. For Christian and for Shane, just the Duke image, we couldn't overcome that at Kansas.
Best golf course you've ever played?
Wow. It's like asking which butter pecan I like the most. I've played at Augusta several times and love it. Played at Pine Valley, love it. So many great courses. But if I could only play one course the rest of my life, I love playing Biltmore Forest up in Asheville now, but if I could only play one course the rest of my life, but I could snap my fingers and get there so the travel wouldn't be a problem, I'd pick Grandfather Mountain. So I'm sticking to my Tar Heel roots, I guess.
Best golfer you ever played with?
Tom Watson. 15 times. 20 times.
Oh, here's the clip.
I found it.
Jilly, you want to provide context for this clip while he pulls it?
Well, Roy's going to have to tell us.
Okay,
when he's at Kansas, he played in a pro-am.
You've got this newspaper clipping.
Speaking of best wins of your life, this actually
that
might be
the golf course. That was it, boys.
So what happens here?
Okay, so Tom Watson and I would play George Brett and Everhoo had won the senior event the year before. Mm-hmm. And so we did it twice, and the second year was Dana Quigley. And I really wasn't looking for this. You can see I've been getting rid of boxes, and I found that I've been giving stuff to Sean May. Williams said no to the Lakers last month. I've been finding all kinds of stuff. What is this one? Just finding stuff, and I thought, God, there it is. But it says here that I made 5 birdie putts in 9 holes, and it was so funny because it's alternate shot. I got Tom Watson hitting every other shot, so he's knocking it in, and I'm making every putt. And so we get to the 9th hole, and we've shut him out. And so I hit a good drive down the middle. Tom even said in one of the articles I hit it 250 right down the middle. And then he's standing there, and he says, all right, if I hit 6-iron, I'm going to give you a downhill putt, but I'm not sure I can cover the bunker with a 7. And I said, just get it on the green. He says, you think you're going to make another one? I said, yeah, probably. So he hit it. It says here 24 feet. I don't know how far it was above the hole. And I putted it, and it was sort of like Jack Nicklaus on 16 at Augusta. About 10 feet out, I started raising my putter in the air, started walking, and it went right dead in the cup. And Dana Quigley came running across the green and grabbed my putter. No basketball coach can putt that well. And so that was the gist of the whole article, is that they were saying it had to be an illegal putter or something like that. But, I played with Tom probably 15 times over the years. I screwed it up badly. We got beat at Kansas, and Juan and I went and hit out at Palm Springs. I think it was 92, and we got beat in the second round, and just the two of us. And so I'm playing golf with my car dealer who was out there, and a guy named Russ Meyer, who was Arnold Palmer's best friend. Best man at his wedding. They were pilots together with Cessna. He was the CEO of Cessna. And we're on like 15, and the plane comes over. He said, that's Arnold. I said, Arnold? He said, yeah, he's going to have lunch with us. I said, you got to be kidding me. And sure enough, we go and sit down. I mean, I'm sitting right beside Arnold Palmer. And he kept telling me to stop calling him Mr. Palmer. But he said, Coach, are you going to be able to play 18 more with us? And my heart I just died. I said, Mr. Palmer, I said, I can't. And I said, my wife's out here. I said, I told her I was just going to play 18. And he said, well, maybe we'll get a chance to do it again. And I'm just dying. I mean, guys, I'm not talking minor league dying. I'm talking major league dying. So I get in the car and leave, and I'm mad at myself, and I'm mad. And I said, well, at least I'm going to get some credit for it. And I walked in and told Wanda, I said, guess what I just did? And I told her, and she said, quote, that's the dumbest damn thing you've ever done. So I didn't even get any credit for it at home. So I didn't get to play with Mr. Palmer, but Tom was the best I ever played.
Your heart, it's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists, talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.
Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill.
The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th and do our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food. We're doing some giveaways. We have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.
Who's better at golf, Michael or Barack Obama?
Michael.
Did you take money from the president?
No, he was my partner.
Oh, that was congressional you played?
No, Columbia Country Club. And it was great. I didn't know what to expect, and I don't want to make too much of this because I don't want it to, some things have to be kept private, but I didn't know what to expect.
In terms of Secret Service or
Secret Service
his ability?
Or how it would be. I mean, that was more, I knew he'd probably be pretty good, you know, and he's a good little golfer. I mean, he's 10 or 11 and he can play and, you know, it's fun. It's sort of like his basketball game. He's sneaky good basketball player for a guy's age and the whole thing. But I didn't know if we'd have the whole course ourselves or what it would be like, but it was one cart of two guys rode with us and there was somebody up in front of us and somebody behind us. And that was it. And people would come up and say, could you do me a favor, Mr. President? And he said, I can. I mean, it was one of them. And he even said, he's on about 15. He said, Coach, you're dragging us around here so fast. He said, we got time to play nine more. Can you stay nine? I said, I'm in. And so we played 27 holes. And he said, start with, can we play these two young guys? I said, these young pups. And he said, young pups. He said, I'm going to use that. And it was... it was a neat deal. We played 27 holes and we won.
So you took their money?
Yep.
How much money have you taken from Michael on the golf course?
Oh, there's some times that we've played as partners. There's some times that we've played with Michael. I probably played for more money than I've ever played with anybody else. But that's always in the Doug Moe Invitational, and then came the Doug Moe Dean Smith Invitational, where, I mean, we've had everybody in the world. It's one of my funniest things to me is Country Club in North Carolina, two little kids get out of a car and run over to the tee and get Michael Jordan's autograph and then run back and get in the car. And the other three guys in that group were Jerry West, Dean Smith, and Julius Erving. And they didn't get those. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. So you've had Jerry West, Dean Smith, Billy Cunningham, Dave Gavitt, Chuck Daly, Julius Erving, Larry Bird. I mean, all those guys were in our group.
But I think the thing we learned from The Last Dance was with Michael, I'm sure sometimes it's just the principle. He can lose. He can afford to lose.
Yeah.
I think it's more of like,
oh, yeah, he wants
you
to
got
win.
Me.
Oh, he wants
Not
to win.
Not that you are it that way.
Yeah, no, he wants to win. I was in the book, the guy that wrote the gambling book about Michael. He lied. I mean, Michael, it's the next day after the Great Five somehow, we went and played, and I was with Michael, and we played. I can't even remember the guy's name now, but the guy that wrote the book. Mm-hmm. And he talked about that round, and what he said was not true. And because I was playing, I was there,
yeah,
you know, and that kind of thing. But, no, we've had some I don't know that I know. We've played for some more high-dollar matches than I ever play otherwise, but they're not high-dollar matches for him.
Can we get a number?
Yeah.
Is there a number?
Oh, you know, when you go to $50 to $100 a hole, that's pretty high for me, you know, and that kind of thing. It's not that high for him, I'm sure.
No, not for him.
Yeah, but again, it's sort of a private kind of thing too, but I've enjoyed it because he loves to compete.
You're allowed one item of UNC memorabilia, only one. What is it?
that picture right there. On the stage in 17 because my two oldest grandsons, I got them up on the stage with me. And that's, you know, I've got a lot of stuff.
You do.
I mean, got a lot of stuff. You guys have no idea. This room would barely hold all the stuff that's sitting in my living room right now. Mm-hmm. But 17, being up on the stage and having my two oldest grandsons up there with me is the best moment ever of my coaching career. And because the two grandsons are there is a big part of it. And for that team to come back from such a devastating loss. I mean, the year before, I said that 84 and 97 were the most difficult to handle. But the year before, the biggest thing, I didn't know what to say to my team. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting out in the little holding area right outside the locker room. And so I'm sitting there and leaned over and got my head in my hands. And somebody came up behind me and just bear hugged me. And I turned around and it was Michael. And I told him, I said, Michael, I don't know what to say to him. I said, would you mind just going in and telling him that you're proud of him? And he said, yeah, I'll do that. And so he went in, and I remember Marcus Page telling me his head was in a towel. And all of a sudden he realized that was not Coach Williams talking. And he opened it, and it was Michael. And so that also has meaning of the why that picture of 17. And it's funny because the media would say, you think Michael's going to come? And I knew. No doubt that he was not coming.
Yeah.
Because he was there in 16 and we lost. And so I knew he wasn't coming. I said, I don't know. I haven't talked to him, but I knew. And as we got closer there, he said, you know why I'm not coming? I said, oh, I understand. It's no problem. But that was the moment for that team. I just wish that Marcus and Bryce had been there too.
With the picture of your grandkids, I'm guessing they eat pizza, right?
Oh, yeah. They eat everything that I don't eat.
You don't eat pizza?
No.
Why?
Just never appeal to me.
Just do people believe you when you say? I mean,
no. Everybody says no. I ate pizza one time in New York. It was nothing to eat at all, and I was really hungry. And I ate one piece, and I just sort of picked the stuff off the top and ate the cheese and the bread. And Jared Hassett home when I went in to recruit him, his mother had gotten some pizza, got some vegetarian pizza, which that one had no chance. He could have been Michael Jordan. I couldn't eat in that one. But she also had some pineapple, Canadian bacon and pineapple pizza. And so I picked the Canadian bacon and the pineapple off the top and ate that. But I would eat something in Prospect's home that probably I wouldn't eat other places.
What is the Roy Williams comfort food?
Fried chicken, biscuits and gravy, you know, Southern, potatoes and corn, green beans. August 1st every year with my family, I tell them no cards, no presents, nothing. I'll come to where you are. Let's just have dinner together, and that's what it is. Fried chicken, biscuits and gravy, corn, green beans, and potatoes.
Last one, your favorite suit and tie combination.
I can tell you by looking at the picture which three I wore during those three championship games. So those are the ones. Those are the three favorites.
You know, you have a future in this if you'd like to spend some time with us on the radio.
Yeah.
If your retirement includes that.
You know, it's crazy. And I love people. I've always felt comfortable talking to people as long as I felt like they didn't have a different agenda. And you guys are trying to do your job, and just that's all it is. And so to me, you guys are easy to deal with, and I appreciate it, and I hope I don't kill your ratings. If it is, don't blame me. Blame each other.
So you got the name of the podcast wrong last time, but Joe says that's even better to use as the promo.
Okay, what did I say?
Well, it's that daggum project or whatever it was, but it's fine. I mean, I think it all ties in perfectly to what we're trying to do here, so we appreciate that.
All right. Just you guys have always been fair with me and told me when you didn't like things, and I can handle that. But you've, as far as I know, never spoke anything that wasn't true, and I can handle anything after that.
More great news for Cary commuters. With the new GoCary app, you can track your bus live on the interactive map feature. Stay informed with the latest news and service updates right at your fingertips. Save your favorite locations and routes for quick and easy access, making your daily commute a breeze. Plus, with the GoCary app, you can easily connect to GoCary.org for even more resources and information. Best of all, the GoCary app is absolutely free to download on the Apple and Google Play stores. GoCary, where getting there is just a tap away.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.